But we begin with a sound you can bank on hearing south of Massachusetts this summer, the nearly deafening buzz of the 17-year cicada. From the Carolinas to Connecticut, residents can expect a full-on plague of these large, loud, winged creatures to emerge after nearly two decades of underground hibernation. We wanted to better understand these bizarre bugs, called Brood 2 cicadas, so we called biologist Joe Hansen, host and writer of the PBS Digital Studios' It's Okay to Be Smart. Joe, can you describe and explain the cicada's strange, odd-numbered cycle for our listeners?
Yeah, so there's hundreds of species of cicadas, but only about seven of them follow these weird life cycles of either 13 or 17 years. So like this year's Brood 2, which is actually kind of a nice horror film title out there, they're in the 17-year club. So people who remember math class will notice that 17 and 13 are prime numbers, and that's probably not a coincidence. So there's a few theories of why they evolved that way.
Help us understand.
Sure. I mean, tens of thousands of years ago, America was covered in glaciers and forests, and if you picked an odd number like 13 or 17, one of these prime numbers, it lowers the chances of you coming out during a cold summer and dying off. So it's kind of like gambling with the weather. Of course, today, that carries an advantage because if you come out every 17 years, then it's hard for predators to get in sync and eat all of you. And then you got a better chance of passing on your genes. And finally, it probably helps them avoid interbreeding with all of these other cicada species. And that way they get to keep that 17-year cycle in the family, so to speak.
When will the 17-year cicada begin popping up, or if they haven't already?
So these immature cicadas have actually been underground for over a decade, feeding on tree roots and things like that. When that soil temperature hits exactly 64 degrees, about 8 inches below the surface, something happens inside of them and they start popping up to the surface. And that's beginning to happen a little farther south near the Carolinas. So they'll emerge in these little holes, climb up a tree and shed that last exoskeleton one last time and become those winged adults that we all hear all summer.
How do they make that loud sound? I mean, it really is a clamor.
Yeah, I mean, this is loud. They say it can be as loud as a jackhammer, like power tools. They're definitely the loudest insects on Earth. So unlike crickets or other sound-making insects, they don't use their wings or their legs. They actually have these two specialized plates. They're kind of like castanets behind their legs, and they buzz these in a rapid-fire call. What you're hearing is actually the males, and they're calling out to females as sort of a little romantic music.
Okay, if you say so. I have heard another thing about them that I just have to put it out there. It's pretty creepy. They eliminate, you know, while you're walking past them, underneath them.
Well, yeah, you know, everything that takes something in has got to get rid of something out the other end. So, yeah, adult cicadas don't eat too much, but they're eating a little bit of tree sap, and that's got to go somewhere. So it's probably best to wear a hat and be ready to wash your car quite a bit this summer.
So where does cicadas fit in the food chain? You said they're popping out when the ground reaches or the temperature reaches 64 degrees. Won't animals or predators attack them when they pop out?
Yes, so that's actually part of their reproduction strategy, is just sort of overwhelm them with numbers. Moles have been eating them for the past 16 years underground. They're probably sad to see them go up to the surface, but birds, squirrels, even your golden retriever will eat them like an all-you-can-eat buffet down there. people should actually probably keep an eye on their dogs because smaller dogs can definitely choke on them. They're pretty big insects. And you don't want to clean that up, I don't think, in the end.
I've read projections of more than 1 million brood 2 cicadas per acre. With that many bugs, is there any other risk of damage to the environment besides a small dog choking on them?
Right. Well, there's a lot of crunching under your feet. You'll definitely get that. But it's sort of like one of those battles. Yeah, I know. Guts everywhere. It's like a battle in Braveheart. You know, throw as many people as you can out there and a few will survive and breed. The adults don't eat too much, but the females can damage young or kind of delicate trees because they cut these little grooves in the soft branches to lay their eggs. Most adult trees will probably be fine, but you can put aluminum foil around the trunk so they can't get a grip to climb up, or you can put netting over them if you're really concerned. But actually, all those squished cicadas are kind of nice fertilizer for your trees.
Okay, so we're here in New England, in New Hampshire. Any chance they will go north of Connecticut? I mean, what's to stop them?
Well, they do have a little bit of, it's different every time they come out, and it's hard to predict every 17 years. But what you can do is check some great maps that are being put out there by people online, like the folks at Radiolab have people all over the East Coast monitoring soil temperatures and reporting when they see them. So you can check out some of those maps, and people in the South and West will probably have a little better chance than the rest of the state.
Well, Joe, we're big fans of your Tumblr and your digital show of the same name. It's okay to be smart, as we say here in New Hampshire. Are you on a mission to make science, I don't know, cool?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, it's already cool. I just want everybody else to realize that. This stuff is awesome. I mean, stories like this, everyone's life gets a little bit richer when you understand all the universe around you and the world around you. I think it just adds to the beauty. And you don't have to be a scientist to join in. So everybody can come to the party.
Biologist Joe Hansen, host and writer of the PBS digital studio series, It's Okay to Be Smart. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You can find more on It's Okay to Be Smart, including links to Joe's blog and Tumblr at wordofmouthradio.org. Joe didn't mention another species which could be snacking on cicadas this summer. There are humans who would consider the hefty insect a good source of protein, and given its odd life cycle, something of an entomological delicacy. David George Gordon is author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook. We called him to ask, well, what does a cicada taste like?
You know, it's really hard to describe what anything tastes like. What does chicken taste like? But I will say that cicadas, to me, have a kind of almost an asparagus-like flavor, a very subtle, green, earthy flavor. I usually tell people not to eat raw insects because there's always the possibility of contagion there. So baking them would be a good way to go. Spread them out on a cookie sheet and just put them in the oven on low heat, like 225, maybe for 20 minutes or half an hour. What I like to do is freeze them. Freezing kills them. Take them out and defrost them. Put them in olive oil, and I use them like you might use sun-dried tomatoes. In fact, I have a recipe in the Eat a Bug Cookbook for cicada pizza topping.
David George Gordon is author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook, originally released in 1998. A revised edition is available this July. By now, we've probably answered pretty much all your questions about cicadas, except maybe one. What to drink with a brewed to pizza?
I think all the insects in general have very, very subtle flavors. So you don't want something that's going to overpower the insect. And as a result, I think something like a crisp Chardonnay or Semillon Blanc would probably be the way to go.
Well, there you have it. Coming up, the psychology of selfies. Word of mouth gets the full picture after a short break.